You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Huskers win. The season is underway. It's a happy day in Lincoln and all across the state, Common fans. And now more than ever, you need certified Piedmontese beef in your life. Thankfully, you can get 25% off beef purchased at cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. They've got premium Nebraska beef, and it's everything you could want. Steaks, burgers, ribs, hot dogs, and more. Stop by your local Mercado butcher shop in Lincoln or Omaha, or get 25% off at cpbeef.com using promo code COMMONFAN. And get certified Piedmontese products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Make sure to check out our brand new website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions tailored to your needs. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We had a great experience working with their team. They were very responsive and delivered high-quality work. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Excuse me. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Boys, college football is back. The Nebraska Cornhuskers are 1-0.
We made it.
Right with the world. Happy college football weekend.
It has begun, my friend.
And also with you.
Let's check out Geoff. He's like he's an ultimate fence sitter right now. He's got the Husker hat and the Notre Dame hoodie.
Don't start.
Don't start. Like, you're wearing the green sweatshirt.
You're not bringing me down off this high, fellas. I'm not going to let you ruin my
weekend. Like that. Remember that kid that wore the half Nebraska, half Illinois t-shirt to the Nebraska, Illinois, even Nebra Noise? That's Geoff right now. Yeah, he's a little Nebra Noise kid.
Yeah, this Husker's is when we stick it to Benedict Alberts. Brian Kelly blows the game last night.
That was pretty cool.
All is right in the world right now.
All of America was with you there.
Absolutely. Yeah, all of America was with, I think, with the Irish. Everyone except for the Yell leaders at A&M.
The Yell squad. Ooh. The male Yeller squad.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Boy, the Huskers looked good yesterday, didn't they? We are going to get into all the high points and the takeaways from the game. Let's do a quick game summary, fellas. So, I think looking back, it was pretty stress-free day for the Huskers. Obviously, Nebraska wins 40-7. They were in control of the game, for most of the game. But Common fans could have been forgiven for hyperventilating a little bit. We ended the first quarter and it was just 7-7. And there was, a brief series of events there that I think, and we'll get more into this, but I think probably had all Common fans, punching the couch, throwing the hat, a little bit. Dylan Raiola leads a great first drive. We go down and score. We're up 7-0. And it's like, and then we force a punt. We force a 3-and-out. And it's like, we're off to the races.
Here we go.
And then we turn the ball over on downs and UTEP scores on 3 plays. And it looked way too easy. Yep. And it was kind of like, okay, 7-7. This always happens, early in these games. Everybody's getting their footing. They got a little bit lucky. 38-yard touchdown pass. No big deal. And then Nebraska goes 3-and-out and they have to punt and everybody's shifting in their seats uneasily a little bit. And then the black shirts force a punt. And then it's like back to like, we're fine. Yeah. Everything's fine here. And then we start moving.
Yeah.
We move the ball, 47 yards. We're driving, we're in the red zone. And Dante Dowdell, running back who transferred from Oregon in the offseason, looked great, by the way. We'll get into that as well. Fumbles, and we turn the ball over, like right as we're knocking on the door to score.
Yeah, it's like on the 10-yard line.
And I think everybody at that point is probably like a whole roller coaster of emotion. This is all happening again. Yeah, nothing is fixed.
Here we go again.
Nothing is better. Mm-hmm. Here we go again. You've got to be kidding me. But sure enough, new season, new hope, new everything. The black shirts get a safety. So then we're up 9-7. We get the ball back. Immediately two plays. Dylan Raiola's first touchdown pass as a Cornhusker. Suddenly it's 16-7. And we can breathe a little bit easier. And as it turns out, there was no need to worry. The Huskers would put up a 23 spot in the second quarter, and we obviously didn't give up any more points. So it was 30-7 at halftime. And guys, I think one thing that I loved, this was like old school Husker football where the backups are in like mid third quarter.
Yeah.
And by the fourth quarter, you've got like,
I think they like played the third.
And I think like over 100 guys got in, like you've got like third and fourth team guys playing in the third and fourth quarter. So that felt really good.
Maybe one of you guys would notice. I'm not sure. I said the same thing to Asha when we were watching. I was like, when was the last time that we voluntarily, sat our starters? How long has it been since we've been in the position to do something like that? It's had to have been a long era, right?
Yeah. Well, it's been a long time. And like even the quote, easy games against the lower division opponents or the non-power five opponents in recent years, even the wins have been really uneasy. Mm-hmm. Like all the way back to, I think of South Alabama and Mike Riley, in Riley's tenure, where we barely held on to
McNeese
that one.
State, where Amir saved us.
That goes back to Pelini. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like Frost and Riley had, some losses that were, Riley lost to Northern Illinois, Frost lost to Troy. So like these games have not been gimmies at all, but again, even the wins, we talked about 2019. What were our non-conference games in 2019? The first one we won like 35-21 or something. It felt like way closer than it should have been. And then we did beat up Northern Illinois. It was just like this uneasy, like never felt, even when we believed we were turning a corner, it never felt like it, even in the wins. Mm-hmm. And, again, look, no one's declaring 12-0 in 2024 yet, but yesterday felt like we believed it should feel like, right? And if we believe that the hype is real and the turning of the corner is going to happen, it should look like that.
Sure.
In game one against Utah. Yeah.
I think that's where most of us were so excited, was that they did what they were supposed to do. And it's just, it's felt like it's been so long, Jeff, like you just kind of alluded to, where Nebraska football kind of did what they were supposed to do against an inferior opponent and took care of business and played 105, 100 and whatever, how many guys, which is so cool. You get some of those guys in there that don't usually, might not sniff the field otherwise. So
Matt, it's been long enough that many people have made the point that there are no longer games that we quote should win. Like no, we can't, like
right.
Nebraska football cannot take anyone for granted until we prove otherwise.
Yep.
And hopefully we're going to go about proving otherwise this season. But I mean, it literally is to the point where like, you can't really take anything for granted until we see.
I think, wasn't it Carricker saying like, you can't just check them off like you used to back in the day. You can't just check.
Win. Right. That's a win. Like that. That's a win. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. All right, well, let's hit the high points, guys. I want to talk about just, some major turning points or some big-time players or things that we saw that were really exciting or really important in this game. For me, that sequence we just laid out was the most important turning point. And I think, look, even though it is UTEP, guys, I think it's important for this team to where we get the early score. We feel like, okay, we're off to the races. And then we had a little bit of adversity. We have to, we turn the ball over, either we punt or we turn it over on downs. We kind of get stalled on offense a little bit. The other team scores, then we turn it over. Look, I know it's only UTEP, but to get that safety to then come back and score, to start, shutting it down, shutting them down repeatedly on defense, we kind of bounce back. And I think that's good, even if we haven't done it against Colorado or Illinois or Purdue yet. I think it's good that we see that from this team, and we see that mindset. Again, there'll be much tougher tests, but it's important that they did it, right?
And this is where I think it's so huge that we're able to start off the season at home for the first time in 5 years. Because there were definitely a few points in that game where the crowd absolutely helped and absolutely helped the defense. And the defense was
And you
really
were there,
feeding
right,
off the
Matteo? You
crowd.
were there?
I was. And it was a good crowd. It was loud. Everybody's excited. I mean, how could we not be? But I felt like the crowd forced a couple of false starts. It definitely made UTEP call a timeout or two. So definitely was a huge, huge boost to start out the season in the friendly confines of Memorial Stadium on Tom Osborne Field in the Sea of Red. And it was a hot one, but Husker fans persevered as we usually do and made an impact on the game for sure.
I agree with you, Matt. I mean, I watched it at home, so I didn't get to have the live experience like you did, but that is one thing that we definitely go into that game. I said to myself, if we needed a game like this to just kind of make our imprint, make ourselves known that, hey, we're not messing around. The fan base needed it. I mean, you can tell just by going on social media. You may say, TJ, that nobody's calling 12 and 0. I get on social media, I think there's some people calling 12 and 0 right now. Like, that's just the way our fan base works.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we needed something like that. This team needed it, and it's just a relief. And it goes to speak volumes about coaching, I think, because like you were saying, TJ, in the past when threatened with any sort of adversity, I felt like these teams were like, if years past, they were even the players were like, oh crap, here it's happening again. Uh-oh, panic mode is setting in. We fumbled the ball. We threw an interception. We got stopped at a three and out. That didn't happen this time. Something bad happened, and we actually did something positive right after the fact. We got that safety.
And
So we just needed it. The team needed
absolutely.
it. The fans needed it. We all needed it. It was great.
And how good does it feel, guys? Like, where, we win the, we joke about how we win the offseason championship every single year, and some high profile, big time player that we're supposed to get, and we'll see if he's going to be any good. We've got a dude. Like, and it
Yeah.
didn't take long. Like, we're just start talking about high points. I mean, the first drive, like, you we're second. We get back to we have a couple penalties. We're backed up second and 30. And what would we have done in the past? We'd probably run a draw, and maybe throw a little dump off screen or a little slant to the tight end and try to get, a little bit of yardage. Maybe we can pin him down. No, it's second and 30, and we got a freaking dude at quarterback, and he throws a laser. I think it was to Banks
It was
and
Banks.
picks up
Yeah, 19
19,
yards. Yep.
and it's third and 11, and still third and 11. How scared would we have been on third and 11 last season?
Oh, I
And
know.
that's when when Dylan made that Mahomes
And he was,
sidearm
I
throw.
watched that again
Sidearm. Yeah.
today. He was on the move. That was not an easy throw. He
No,
was
he's
getting
going to his kind
chased.
of went to his
And
left.
Nayer made a great catch on that one too.
And that's another thing. That's another huge difference.
Well, to
Is
your
you've
points.
got guys that can actually make those catches when the quarterback's putting in a spot where only his guy can get it. It's falling incomplete or my guy's getting it.
With all due respect to Billy Kemp and was it Kanavainoa? Was that like and some of these other like we get I feel like we get these transfer wide receivers and everybody's excited and they're fine and they go, again I'll do those guys are Huskers for life. They wore the N on the helmet. They deserve our respect. Don't get me wrong. But it's like they never quite materialize into the dudes we need them
Or,
to be.
yeah.
And but both it looks like we got two of them in
Yeah.
Nayer and Banks,
That's
right?
what I was going to say. And, or it's one guy. Like, we had Samari Toure, and then, like, and go ahead, na name me another receiver that we had that was legit. And then it was Trey Palmer.
Trey Palmer. Yeah,
And, another
it was
transfer
like
guy that
nobody
comes
else.
in. But it's like, okay,
Right.
we got that one guy we can throw to that's a threat down the field, intermediate routes, whatever it might be. Like, both of these guys look like tremendous wideouts.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, Matteo, like I wrote about this in my sort of takeaways for the game, but that it was that converting on, you know, when it's second and 30 and then third and 11, which we haven't done very often recently. The other thing that we did that we haven't done very often recently, which featured these new, this new talent that we're talking about, was a 2 minute drill at the end of the first half.
Yes.
Where we get the ball back. We get a, the defense makes a pick. Great play by the D. We get the ball back. I think it's like 203 or 205 left in the half or something. And Raiola gets sacked on the first play of that drive. Then subsequently though goes 4 of 6 and with under 10 seconds left makes an unbelievable throw to the end zone and bang. I mean, it was probably about the only place that you could put that ball. Not an easy catch though for Banks. And he went up and got, I mean, just a beautiful throw, beautiful catch. And again, that one even more so probably than converting on second or third and long. I mean, how many times in the Frost era, either at the end of a half, I'm thinking of, was it 2021 Illinois, end of the half. It was just the end of the first half. And like, we have the ball. So like, worst case, you just don't get any points, right? But we're trying to execute a 2 minute drill and we throw a pick. And I think they went down and got points instead with like under a minute or under 2 minutes left. And then we could never do it at the end of a game. Like,
no,
we could never do the end of a game. And so just seeing that again, everybody breathe easy.
It's UTEP.
But like, that's a major high. Both of those things are like differences and major high points. And like, I think that's just like that stuff. I think we're going to continue to see that play out as the season goes on.
Yeah.
I want to go back to just a point we were talking about earlier about sort of the defense. They gave up that long score. UTEP was like doing their best. That head coach was doing his best. You know, PJ Fleck Jr. That guy was like,
I texted you guys. That dude he's just a lot.
He was jumping all over the sideline. They had a lot of energy, and then they scored. You know, that they clearly wanted to do these funky formations, and they scored fast. And it was kind of like, is this going to be one of those like weird, you know, they're not more talented than us, but we have to, it's the only, we'll only see this offense once during the year. And if they'll just keep doing this and they'll hit a few big ones and they're going to keep it close. And it's going to be really annoying. And so they hit that 38 yard touchdown pass, 3-play drive to get a touchdown. After that, though, to the credit of the defense, just completely stepping up. After that, they went punt, safety, punt, interception, punt, punt, interception, end of game. Yeah. So like Tony White, like was like, okay, they've had their fun. That's not happening.
We're not
again.
Doing this anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about it after the game. Like, to me, they had 3 bad plays the whole game and they were all in a row on one drive and it led to a touchdown. Other than that, like there's nothing you can complain about with that, with the defense.
No. Blackshirts gave up 205 yards total, only 56 on the ground. So I love seeing that, you know, they were a top rushing defense in the country last year. I love seeing that pick up right back where it left off. 149 through the air. I mean, that's nothing in 2024. You know, that's nothing.
Yeah.
In today's game. And so that was pretty pretty exciting as well. All right, any other high points for you guys?
I mean, just him real to be able to put the ball just like you said, TJ, where it belongs. Like Neyor had that awesome catch that for a touchdown that, I mean, we got Patrick Mahomes watching us on television now and tweeting about us. Like, it's just freaking crazy to me. And that was, Neyor should have had 2. He had that one that was right there.
That's right. On
like,
the first
drive. Right there. Like, and I just, it was awesome. I'm almost speechless about it. It's just badass.
Well, I mean, several people commented on social media about how just like the simple act of hitting a receiver that's open over the middle is so refreshing to see. And I do think, you know, again, there's going to be ups and downs. We're going to play some good teams this year. But I do think as the year goes on, I would like to believe that, like, you know, I feel like I'm still holding my breath whenever he goes back to pass just because of the experience of recent years. And how bad it's been when a Nebraska quarterback has dropped back to pass.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, like, again, he's a true freshman. He's going to make mistakes. We're going to face better defenses, but he is supremely talented, guys.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, I'll be guilty. Like I would say, show me and I'll believe it when I see it type of thing. Well, He showed us like that was something else for sure.
Yeah.
And we should note Big Ten freshman of the week that came out today. We're recording the day.
Rightfully so.
My 9-year old Michael was like, Dad, he's probably going to win like 10 of those this year. And I was like,
you might. So,
you're right, yeah. Michael. You're right. What can I say?
Michael Boy knows.
He's a smart kid. He's very smart.
But you know what was impressive too? And Rule talked about it and mentioned it as what he thought Dylan's best play of the game was. It was that three-way check. He checked three times, basically audibled three times.
That resulted in
a 42-yard run. A 42-yard run to Emmett Johnson. And if you watch, he goes up and he does his call, and he moved Emmett to one side, and he looks again. Defenders barely moved, but he saw something. He knew what was going to happen, and he set us up perfectly for that run play. I mean, I was kind of bummed Emmett didn't get in.
I know, he was so close.
But what a great chunk play, and all because you got a smart guy at quarterback. Yeah, that's all that is. So he's not just making the throws. I mean, when you got a guy that can make those
he knows what's going on the field.
And can get up to the line and read the defense like that.
Yep.
Man.
He's still
Common fans.
Sorry.
Oh, common fans.
friend of the program, Zach Carpenter, makes this point often that Zach Carpenter with the Nebraska Rivals site, Inside Nebraska, I think it is, makes this point often that the biggest advantage of Raiola, as much as anything, he's got all the physical tools. He can throw the ball 80 yards plus down the field. He looks smooth. Like he's got all the physical tools. His biggest asset is his brain.
Yeah.
And like, he is mature and, you know, got the football smarts well beyond his years. And that's all you hear about him, is he wants to be in the football building. He wants to be learning. And didn't we hear that he's got like a photographic memory or something?
I think Zach Carpenter told us that.
And so like, again, like I just don't think like Husker fans are just going to be bursting at the seams. Like he's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, just so freaking exciting. Oh, yeah. All right, let's pivot to what we learned, gentlemen. The first one I had was Dylan Raiola is as good as advertised.
Yep.
We kind of buried the lead. I don't know why we didn't just start with the Dylan Raiola show in the first place, but anything else to add on that? I mean, we've kind of covered it. I mean, the other thing is, and you know, Adrian Martinez, to his credit, I think had the physical tools as a true freshman as well, and really played really well as a true freshman. Raiola is on a different level.
Yeah.
I mean, he is special.
I think so. Yeah. Just the way that he throws, I mean, his deep ball, I mean, the way he can get it, the air under it, it looks effortless. Like that on that first drive, he had the one that Isaiah Nair missed that went through his arms. I mean, the way that ball dropped in for him was just beautiful. And it just almost just looks effortless throwing it. I mean, he didn't even cock it back that far. It's just like like a flick, and it's going 40 yards.
And you said it's just though, it's like
incredible
to
watch.
Puts it right where it needs to be too. Like that's a tight ass window on that throw there into the end zone. And it was right where it was supposed to be. So you're right. It's either you make the catch, you don't make it, but it's not getting intercepted, that's for sure.
Right.
Well, and he's not a run first quarterback. You know, I don't know that you would run a ton of, you know, like you, I don't know if you'd have a ton of QB run game with him, but he looks really smooth moving around the pocket too. Like he is not a statue back there. He's not a Tom Brady statue. Like he is athletic and he can move as much as he needs to move, but I like that they're not going to try a ton of that QB run game with him. I will be interested to see, teams have done it against us. I mean, how many times have we seen where this quarterback hasn't run all year, and then they run like some QB, some zone read, and the quarterback ends up running for like 65 yards and gets four key first downs or something. So I will be interested to see if we like pull that out of our hat at some point in a critical time this year, you know?
Yeah. I just hate to have us like call a designed run for him, and then he like that's how he gets hurt or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I know.
Take it easy there, buddy.
Don't even speak it.
Don't start, even speak man. It. I freaked out. I freaked out when his helmet came off.
Happened in the closer to the end zone where I sit in North Stadium, and you could tell his footing kind of went out from under him. So the hit looked worse than it was. because he was already going backwards and the guy just kind of flew over him. So it looked like he got annihilated. But, you know, the thing that made it look worse, I think, was his helmet popped off.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as hard of a hit as I think most people thought.
Yeah. Next thing I had for what we learned, I think it's safe to assume the offense will be much better this year, guys. Looking at the weapons we've got. But it's interesting. I bring that up because it's what we talked about all last year. The defense was so good. The defense kept us in just about every game. And we said if the offense was even average, how many more games would we win? Would we be winning? And so I guess we're going to get into questions, but that's what that makes me think, right? Of like, okay, if the offense is going to be good enough so that you're up 10 in the fourth quarter instead of tied going into the fourth quarter, you know, how many more wins can that translate into? Because I feel like if we can keep up the offensive, you know, we're not going to score 40 points every game necessarily. We're going to be playing some good Big Ten defenses. But like, again, give me an average offense. If this D is going to be as good as we think it is, and we're already talking 2 to 3 more wins, and that's conservative.
Yeah.
I had that on my notes too, is that the defense, we knew they were going to be good and they were as advertised. So it's good to know that we didn't lose a step or anything like that. If anything, we're better than we were last year. So that's reflected on the scoreboard. Like, just look what happens when, like you said, an average offense, above average offense, and a defense together, we're blowing the doors off of teams first game of the season, which is freaking awesome.
Doing what we're supposed to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But like, for me, it was and this kind of started last year. We saw that Tony White likes to play a bunch of guys on defense.
Yes. Yes.
And this game, I think the way that the game flowed with UTEP trying to go really, really fast didn't lead to a lot of tackles or a lot of stats on defense, but there's a lot of guys that I thought, like, gosh, he played pretty well. Malcolm Hartzog, other than the touchdown where he got beat, I mean, he had a couple of big tackles. He had an interception. He tied for the team leading tackles with Mekhi Bayer, who also was all over the field.
Yep.
And then you got like Vincent Shavers, three tackles, third on the team, three tackles, two solo. Threw me off because he's wearing number 10. There's no number 10 on the online roster. And then I figured out after a while, I was like, oh, it's Shavers. But there's a lot of young guys getting tons of playing time.
To that point, I love how much Tony White rotates guys in and how much that he's not afraid to play these young guys. And we saw it last year with Cam Lenhart and Prince Will Umanmielen, who made an impact last year. They were freshman All-Americans last year.
Yeah.
And so obviously one, good job bringing in dudes who can play right away, but two, like, good job, like, not being afraid to put them on the field. And then how much further are they along this year? Because they had that experience last year.
Exactly.
And it feels like now there were that Mason Goldman kid. Didn't he lead?
He was up there too.
He's a freshman.
He led the team in sacks. Tackles. He had a sack.
Maybe he just had a sack, but Shavers, McGahee, the fourth. There were a
Ramir
ton
Stewart
of,
in the
Ramir
back,
Stewart
in the
he got a backfield. Pick. Yeah, yeah. Those four are freshmen. Yeah.
Speaking of,
so I love that these young guys are getting. That's a great point, Mattio. Geoff, go ahead.
Speaking of sacks, is McDonald still doing the Big Mac sack thing? If so, I didn't take advantage of it. I should have. Can we confirm this, Matt? Do you know?
I hope so. That's was a staple for a really long time.
All right, I'm just making
and
sure.
I love hearing Jeff, Greg
that's,
Sharp.
Jeff,
Big
that's
Mac
the
sack.
Kind of information we expect you to know, Jeff.
Big Mac sack.
That's what you need to bring to the table here.
Yeah.
If you're gonna wear a Notre Dame sweatshirt,
take
while
it easy.
Record, you need to at least be equipped with that kind of information.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
But again, so we had the same, like, the game flow and the way UTEP, it didn't lead to our defense having really opportunities to even get sacks. So if they are still doing Big Mac sacks, Jeff, there was only one yesterday, but that's still a Big Mac sack.
I missed out on it, damn it. I missed out on it.
You know, hoping we're saving up all our Big Mac sacks for next weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Did you get a runza at the game?
I didn't get one. When it's 95 degrees, I love a runza, but those are not prime runs at Runza Stadium eating conditions. 95 degrees in the direct sunlight. I didn't. I got all I had to eat was popcorn. I
What the
got
hell
a
is your problem, dude?
I had a Gatorade and I had some popcorn. That's all
It's
I
that
had.
heat. It's that damn heat.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's the damn heat.
All right, Geoffs, do you have any for the for what we learned?
No, the defense was just confirming that. So we learned that they're good still, and they're going to continue to be good.
Yeah. So, a lot of high points, very few low points, but I think there's still some open questions going into week two. I can tell you I've got a list of a few questions. I'm going to throw this out there. I don't want you guys to get mad at me. I don't want common fans to get mad at me, but I had offensive line. It felt like Raiola was running for his life a little more often than you would like to see against UTEP. And then the run game was great. Looked like we had a true downhill run game. We had three different backs, Dowdell, Emmett Johnson, and Ramir Johnson, have at least 50 yards or more. Totaled over 200 yards rushing. All good. Those are all good numbers. That's good. And we need, like, clearly Rhule wants to be a physical run first team. He's building this team in a proud tradition that all common fans can get behind. I just don't think we have enough information to know for sure if they can do
Yeah.
that against big. I want to believe they can knock Colorado in the chin strap this week. I want to
Yeah.
believe like that Colorado defense didn't look great against NDSU. When we get to Rutgers, really physical team, we get to, I mean, I won't even bring up the big dogs. I won't bring up Ohio State and USC, but like when we get to some of the, Bielema always has tough defenses, tough fit, physical teams. I want to believe we've taken the next step. I just don't think we know yet.
Yeah, and that's fair. I thought they did a pretty good job. There was a couple times where I thought Raiola had plenty of time to throw. And you're right. There were a couple times where he's kind of running around because somebody's bearing down on him. But for the most part, I think it looks like a tough, really good offensive line. And I just hope that he can keep Luke Skywalker on his feet.
Yeah,
Right.
that is concerning, but it's better than it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll just have to wait and see. It is better than what it was, though.
Yeah.
What else did you guys have for questions?
I just want to know, and this is looking ahead to next week, is, and TJ, you kind of brought it up with, an inferior opponent. How are we going to deal with our defense is going to be able to handle some of these NFL caliber stars that we're going to run into next week? Like we push around a team like UTEP, that's great, but I would be an idiot not to be at least a little bit nervous about having to, deal with Sanders and Travis Hunter, and people that are probably going to be first round draft picks eventually. So I'm still a little bit nervous about that. Our defense is
Yeah.
good, but that is something that makes me a little bit uneasy and nervous for next
Well,
week.
and I'll add one of mine to that because it's a similar point, so we can talk about it all together. But the next one on my list was just questions about the D getting to the quarterback. And like I think especially with Colorado, with Shadur, I don't think they're gonna be able to run the ball very well, but he's really mobile. He can make all the throws. He's got Travis Hunter to throw to. And so
And
like
Horn, Jimmy Horn Jr. is pretty good
Yeah,
too.
Horn's playing
And
darn good.
so
like, can we get to the quarterback? It's third and six, third and eight. We know if we get pressure, great. Can we get him on the ground?
Yeah.
And can we get off the field on third down? That was one. If you could nitpick something from last year's defense, getting off the field on third down, all these things to your point, Jeff. Is we've talked about this before. What makes me nervous about Colorado, I continue to believe they are not a bowl team in 2024, just like they were not a bowl team in 2023. But the more the season goes on, the more people will figure them out, right?
Yeah.
They've got it. They have a bunch of new transfers. They do
Yep.
have some high level talent. I'd rather play them in game 8 or game 10 than game 2. And
Yeah,
so it
sure.
just makes me nervous. The whole thing makes me nervous. I'm amped for that game. I know it's going to be just an unbelievable environment in Memorial Stadium. But I think
That's
that point, I think
crazy.
that's a heck of a point, Jeff, like how we handle that offense because they do have, like, they have better skill talent than most of the Big Ten teams we will play.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that is an open question.
Yeah. But you know what? I think with this coaching staff, Coach White and Coach Butler, I think if it's me, I think those guys are amping this up as like, hey, you get a chance to get in this guy's face and shut down a guy that's gonna be a first round draft pick. In terms of like, you talk to Buford, who's been here forever and fought his ass off to get back on the field, or any one of those, or Deshaun Singleton, any of those guys in the secondary, I think they're gonna take this on as a challenge and say, hey, you think you're that good? Come beat me. And I hope that's what we do. I hope we play that guy physical and just keep smash every time you get a chance, just smash him.
Got a
Like, I
pressure
don't
him,
know if
that's for sure.
you play him up tight or what, because he's a burner. So I don't know if you want to try to take the risk of getting beat deep, but I think you got to get in a guy's grill, a guy like that. You don't
Yeah,
give him, you don't want to
disruptor.
give him space.
No,
So
this is where being able to run the ball is going to be so important too. When we have the ball on offense, we need to hold the ball on offense.
yeah.
We need to be able to convert on third down. We need to be able to stay on the field and take big chunks of time off the clock. And then we will make stops on D. We're going to make stops,
Yeah.
but it's just a matter of like how many big plays do they hit, right? And
We need to
so,
get some
what I would love
sacks
to
and
see is
some
we
takeaways.
hold the ball for 8 minutes. They go three and out. We hold the ball for 8 more minutes. You know what I'm saying? We
Yeah.
need to Iowa them a little bit, only with a better offense that actually gets into the end zone.
Yeah.
But that's a really good point, Geoff.
Says Jeff.
Thanks,
Finally,
guys.
for once, finally.
I was gonna say something else. I was gonna say something else on top of that, but I lost it. But I just think like with Colorado, where this isn't really a Colorado preview episode, but I think we could win by 10 or 14 points. I think it's also
Oh,
possible that it's a tie game with
really
3 minutes
close.
left.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I was gonna say. I think it was like middle of the third quarter last year, and it was still like 13-7.
Yeah.
Like after all that went wrong, and we just kept We're still in it
turning the
now. ball over and handing the ball over to them, and
Yeah.
eventually, like we gave it to them enough times on the wrong side of the field where they were able to get in and score some points. So if we can take care of the ball, and even if we don't get points, punt instead of fumble or throw interceptions, and they have to make them go the length of the field, like we will get stops, right? Like
Yeah.
I believe in Tony White and this defense, this veteran defense enough, that we will get stops. And I really want to see Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmaker and Jamari Butler and all of our dudes have their way with Colorado's offensive line. If they can be disruptive,
I
I think
think they
that'll
will.
help things a lot. So like it was, people forget that. Like the offense was so bad last year, and then you couple the turnovers on top of it, we just killed ourselves. So I think if we can avoid that, and the offense again could just be average and not turn the ball over, I really like our chances.
Yeah.
I do
I mean,
too.
we had one, wasn't that the game where Sims sent one of the receivers in motion? The snapped ball hit our
Hit the
motion
receiver.
man.
Yes.
Like, there was so many
It was just a
dumb
dis it
plays
was
in
just a
that.
disaster, right?
Yeah,
And then
I
it didn't
mean,
help be it didn't help being in Boulder. Right when that stuff
no.
happens, and then the home crowd feasts on it. So I think I can't wait to. I think it's going to be really important that we get off to a good start on Saturday, and then we just gotta do our thing.
It's gonna be electric, boys.
It is. It is. All right. What else for questions, guys? What other questions you have going into week two?
Questions going into week two.
I've got one more. If you like, I get that for me. I believe the kicking game is still an open question.
Yeah,
So
that's probably what that's where I would go too.
Tristan Alvano was 5 for 5 on extra points. Excellent. He hit a 20-yard field goal from like it wasn't straight up; it was on one of the hashes. But that's basically an extra point. I just don't think we know enough yet. I don't think we have enough information yet. Big fan of Alvano, in-state kid. His senior year of high school, it was, he turned heads when he hit whatever it was, 5 field goals from 40 plus yards out or whatever it was. We know he's got it in him. A little more inconsistent than you would like to see last year. They have this other kid. His name is escaping me, but he transferred from like an Iowa Western type school. And when Alvano was hurt just in fall camp, this kid was getting some run. So I'm just curious, like I just like zero criticism of anything this week, but another part of turning the corner this year is likely going to have to involve winning close games. And when you're in
Kicking
close
field goals.
games, you have to take the 3 points when you have the opportunity to get the 3 points. So
That one's going to be another situation where we're holding our breath for a while until we see it, right?
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. I'd say that the kicking game and then like you said, TJ, the offensive line, other than those two, like, I mean, I can't really think of anything that's glaring. Like, what are we going to do about, you
well,
know,
it's
this
just,
or that?
You know, we played a perfect, complete game, guys. There's nothing to criticize. So, I mean, why are we even having this conversation?
Far from perfect, Jeff. Far from perfect. We can be better. We should have probably scored three more touchdowns on UTEP, Jeff.
Well, let's be clear on that point, Matt. I think we would have, could have, would have, should. I think we would have if we just kept the starters in, you know, even through.
Oh, yeah, we would have.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm not overly worried on that. But sorry. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think Bushini kicked it well. He only got two punts, but one was 53 yards, one was 44. I mean, he kind of looked like he had a little bit of the yips a little bit last year. So it's good to see Bushini and his do fairly
yeah.
well in his two
I hope he
points.
Get yeah, I hope he can keep that going. Transfer John Hole is the transfer kicker. HOHL.
Johnny Hole?
Johnny Hole. So well, I wanted to make sure to acknowledge him since I couldn't remember his name. One other thing, actually, guys, I don't think it's huge cause for concern because they're both true sophomores, and I think they both have bright futures. But with the addition of Banks and Nayor, we didn't see any of Jalen Lloyd or Malachi Coleman, who
Lloyd ran a couple deep routes, but I don't.
Well,
think
sorry,
got
a, neither of them caught a ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
did I don't know if so, Coleman even played? Did he?
I don't think he did.
Oh, didn't is he injured?
I didn't.
I should.
He might
no,
be injured. I didn't. I don't
no,
think
I don't
I saw
think
him
he's
at
not.
all.
Rule
I don't
talked.
even
I
think
saw.
I even saw him. He didn't suit up or anything.
Rule mentioned it. I think I saw Mitch Sherman and Evan Bland tweeted about it. That he's healthy. He's fine. I can't remember. Is it something to do with a red shirt or something like that? I can go back and look at Sherman's tweet or
I
something.
Don't know.
But they brought
That's
something up about
interesting.
it. He's not.
I mean, it might. As long as we have Nayor and Banks, like if they're going to
redshirt we did okay.
Coleman and he's okay
yeah.
with it, like that might be a good idea for him, honestly.
Yeah, I mean they're both super fast. You cheer hard for them because they're both, you know, Coleman's from Lincoln and Lloyd's from Omaha,
100%.
And you want to see them, you know, and they both they did more than flash last year. Like they played
Yeah.
well, they contributed last year. And
Right,
I think we'll for sure see that from Lloyd this year.
Yeah,
not sure.
I wouldn't be too worried about Lloyd. I think he's gonna take the top off the defense a few times this year, like he did last year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it was after I was on at one of the wide receiver spots on the depth chart. It went Banks, then Lloyd, and then Coleman. So that was kind of interesting that they were all listed at the same spot. But again, we brought in more talent. That is what it is. They're both young guys. Like normally we wouldn't be saying like true sophomore didn't play that. You know, that's they have some growing to do and some learning to do. So
Evan,
I don't think it's a major.
Evan did tweet that he said that Malachi Coleman is healthy. Coach Matt Rhule says could redshirt him this year, which is a testament to the receiver depth and Coleman's future potential.
Like you said, Matty O, if he's cool with that and another year of development while we've got Banks and Nayor, then I mean there's not
I mean,
a lot
then
of
he'd come in
to
and
that.
Be he would be in this I would think be in the starting
You'd think,
rotation next year if he redshirted this year and because Banks and Nayor are only 1 year guys, aren't they?
At least I think so. Well, Nayor might be younger. Banks is definitely a senior. Nayor might be younger. Are you looking that up right now, Matty? Is that what you're doing?
I am.
Excuse me. Good. Bless you, Jeff. All right. Real quick, I think that's all. Unless you guys have any other questions. Any other items to discuss before we get to corn cobs?
Banks is a senior.
That's what I said.
I'm looking.
Are you done? Are you done ragging on?
They're both seniors.
Okay.
I assume with this COVID year, who the hell knows what that even
you
means?
You never know. Like, I feel like guys.
Are we done with that yet? Are we done with the damn COVID year?
Six, seven, 8 years.
There's a guy playing. I can't remember where he saw it playing. The guy's playing
his
ninth
season.
Ninth year of college football.
It doesn't seem to matter. Yeah, because COVID was 1 year. So why he
nine.
Got the.
What are we doing here?
The three or four extra years on top of the extra COVID
Stevie,
year. I'm not sure.
You have two robotic knees. Please retire from football. Like five medical red shirts and
your
a
grandchildren
year.
Are begging you to retire.
You have a mortgage to pay.
The younger guys in the locker room cannot stand the smell of the Old Spice.
It's brute. It's not only proved, it's brewed.
All right. Well, that brings us to our time honored common fan tradition of awarding corn cobs to the best players of the game. Basically, like, for those of you who are new, and we have a lot of new listeners, and we appreciate and love all of you. We do corn cobs at the end of each game recap episode. It's our version of game balls, basically.
Like a game ball, like a helmet sticker.
Yeah, helmet sticker, game ball. It's corn cob on the Common Fans podcast. We talked in advance, Common Fans. We try not to compare notes too much in advance of these episodes. We did talk in advance, and in keeping with the spirit of the day and of the weekend, we are going to award a unanimous corn cob. This was just so we could each pick somebody different, because we were all going to pick the same guy. Unanimous corn cob to Dylan Raiola, AKA Luke Skywalker, AKA the savior of the program, AKA all world, AKA Big Ten freshman of the week, Dylan Raiola. Fantastic game, Dylan. The future is bright for this guy. The sky's the limit. So unanimous corn cob goes to Mr. Raiola. And congratulations on making your long-awaited Husker debut. We can't see what else you have in store.
Congrats, Dylan. We can't wait to have you on the podcast.
That's right. That's right. You're welcome on the podcast anytime.
Open invitation. I'm going to go with, I love me some defensive linemen. Again, not a lot of big stats from the defense, but my guy, the old man, Ty Robb, two tackles for loss. And I think they gave him credit for the safety on the tackle on the safety. He was just looked like just a man possessed out there and just a beast. And I was glad that I watched the game back, and you know, the broadcast team gave him a little love. I think Brock Huard even called him a humanoid or something. And it was like, in a really, really good context. Like, he doesn't look like he's like human or something. I don't know. But I'm going with Ty Robb. I love those D linemen, and I'm sure I'll give one to Nash eventually this year. But Ty Robb gets my corn cob.
Love it. Geoff. Nice.
There are so many to choose from. I mean, the running backs, I mean, everybody contributed in their own special way. So it's tough. But you know me, I'm the Hollywood flashy type. I like big plays, sexy plays.
You are, so Mr. I gotta, Hollywood.
I am. So I had to give it to Nayor there. I had to, just with that awesome play. You had Mr. Hollywood himself retweeting us. I mean, that's freaking awesome. Again, he almost had a second one before that, and he made up for it by making that big catch. So Nayor is my guy. I went with that one.
So you were fine with the drop in the end zone, Jeff?
I was fine with it after the fact. Okay. Just take it easy.
Just kidding. Right? You had a great game.
He did have a great game.
Great.
Just kidding. I think Isaiah would appreciate the joke. He knows I'm joking.
Yeah.
Definitely knows I'm joking. Okay. And I have a funny story about my experience watching this game, which I will get to in just a minute. My corn cup. So you guys know I've said it on the podcast multiple times. I have put my stake in the ground in writing. I am very high on Emmett Johnson. I believe Emmett Johnson could be an every down Big Ten back. He had a great game. He led the team in rushing. I believe it's possible that one could make the argument that Dante Dowdell looked better than Emmett Johnson. It looked like our best back. He looks like a Big Ten bulldozer. He looks like he's got the speed to go with it, though. Like, Johnson's a little smaller. Johnson's a great back. But Dowdell seems to have all of the tools. He had 8 carries for 55 yards, scored a touchdown. He had that fumble near the goal line. I was honestly glad to see the coaches basically, like, he went missing after that. I don't know. He may have gotten in for a few plays, but I don't think he got another carry after
he
that.
He didn't get the ball again. Yeah.
And I'm glad to see the coaches taking the turnover issue seriously. You cannot compromise on that. You have to do that. I would like to believe that's only for the UTEP game.
Yeah, give him one free pass
because he's the kind of guy that could just run over teeny weeny Colorado defenders. Dowdell gets my corn cob. I'm really excited to see what he can do. Side note, I'm interested. I made this point in the article too, but I'm kind of interested to see, you had Dowdell, you had Ramir had 50 yards. Emmett had, I think, 72 yards. And then Gabe Irvin had, He had only 24 yards, but he had two touchdowns. He kind of looks like maybe he's going to be
He's
their
a
goal
short
line
yardage guy.
guy. Yeah, and he looks like a beast. I'm so and I love Ramir Johnson, such a great story. He's battled injuries. He goes back to the Frost era. He's been here since 2019. I would definitely want to see Ramir have his moments and flash this season and have some big plays at moments that matter, right? And I hope that happens. I kind of wonder if we're moving like at based on week one, if we're moving toward a little bit more of a two-headed monster where Emmett and Dowdell will be the two guys. And then we'll see Ramir and we'll see Gabe in more situational stuff. Just curious, maybe wrong on that.
That looks
Seems
like the
like the
best
case.
combo.
Yeah, it does.
It looks
There's
like a two-headed monster, Dowdell and Emmett, and then you bring in Gabe when it's third and goal from the two, or whatever, short yardage to get a first down. Like that seems to me like it would be the best trio. And then you bring in Ramir for a couple plays here and there and
Was
let
that
him
Emmett
run his ass
and
off.
Ramir can catch the ball? He's fat, like he's got some tools, you know. Was that Emmett that laid that freaking block on that dude in that
On the
slip?
kickoff return.
Yes,
Yes.
that was just
Football
laid him
play.
out, just
Good
absolutely
Lord.
laid him out. Love that. So I gotta tell you, that's basically a wrap on the show, common fans. But feel free to stick around for my somewhat funny story. But the Burkle family was in Nashville this weekend. I'm one of five, so all the siblings were there. Mom was there. It is the home of Husker football letter winner Andy Burkle, and Andy and his wife Kelsey just had a baby. Shout out to baby Brooks. Just had a baby in July,
Heyo,
so
congratulations.
Brooksy is less than 2 months old. And so we said we try to, get the, one of five. We all live in different places. It's tough to get everybody together, so we try to do it at least once a year. And so we said, this year we'll come toward you, Andy, because you're going to have a little baby and, you don't need to be traveling. So anyway, we stayed at this massive place called the Gaylord Opryland, which is a Marriott property in Nashville. And it's huge. A lot of conventions take place there. And it's got one of the, I have to imagine it's got one of the biggest water parks in the entire country. I mean, slides, indoor, outdoor. Lazy River, multiple big slides, wave pool outdoors, huge screen, constantly playing music videos, which is, I guess, like a tip of the hat to Nashville. Anyway, so it was pretty cool, great for the kids. I mean, because we all have kids of different ages,
For
it's
sure.
great for the kids. We kind of get we realized we weren't gonna be doing a lot of adulting in Nashville, and it was a great spot for the kids, right? Oh, and it was like almost 3,000 rooms, and the guy told us it's like the biggest non-casino hotel, I think, in the country. Something like
Wow.
this. Just this massive
Wow.
property.
That cabana looked
Anyway,
lovely.
so we got this cabana on Saturday. We all chipped in, got a cabana at the water park. A couple of couches, a couple of seats and couches, fridge, nice big TV for college football watching. And we're sitting there watching the Huskers on Fox. And it was like, this is perfect. Like the kids are kind of entertaining each other. My boys were watching the game, but even Charlotte, the 2-year-old, was just going to the baby pool. She was fine. Like it was just great. Having a few beers, watching college football's back. We're watching the Huskers. And I want to say it was like midway through the second quarter, the Penn State West Virginia game came out of weather delay and they booted the Nebraska
Oh,
game from Fox and
no.
switched it to Fox Sports 2
Oh,
and put the
no. And you
Penn
don't get
State
that
game
channel
back
there, do
on.
you?
And the hotel had Fox Sports 1, but it didn't have Fox Sports 2.
Panic
And
mode.
we were like, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, it felt almost like when the Akron game got like, I was like, you cannot, this can't be real. This can't be happening. So my brother Andy, God bless him, like pulled out the iPad and got the game going on the iPad, but that's not the same. Like we're all crowded around the iPad trying to watch the game. So like Michael Boy was like, this is stupid. Can we go do a slide? So I took him to go to a slide. I missed, I think, the third touchdown, maybe. Like I missed, didn't we did one, we had to wait in line. It wasn't much of a line. We did one slide and then we went back and watched the rest. And then by the time we got to our game was out of halftime. Shortly after halftime, they moved it back to the Penn State game
They
ended
moved it
the,
back.
and moved it
Got
back.
it.
But
So
it
you
was
didn't
dear
see the
Lord.
touchdown. So you did not see the touchdown right before half either to Banks?
No, saw that. Saw that.
Oh, you saw that. Okay.
On the little iPad, annoyingly, but was
Yeah.
watching live when that
At
happened.
least you saw that one.
So
Yeah.
I missed the long Emmett
I
Johnson
think it was,
run,
and
and
then
the
Gabe Irvin, I think,
touchdown.
punched it
Yeah,
in.
exactly,
Yep.
exactly.
Yeah.
Missed that one.
Damn. Oh,
But it
wow. That
was
isn't that the worst?
so
Like your heart just
frustrating.
drops, and then you're
Yes.
like, okay, and you go into like IT guy mode of like, how are we gonna
Yeah.
get this
Oh,
game
dude,
on
we were
here?
calling
No
the front
way.
desk. We were calling the front desk. Is there a way to get Fox Sports 2? Like all we were trying, all we were asking the ladies at the pool, the staff at the pool to help us, like all this stuff.
Wow.
And it was just so, and it was also like, I'm sorry, we knew the weather was coming when the Akron game got canceled and we couldn't move it up. My understanding, maybe they didn't try that hard, but my understanding was TV schedule. Like, I'm sorry, Penn State, West Virginia, you had your weather delay, but you don't get to come back. You don't get to
No,
come back on
no,
Fox.
no. There are people that
It's
want to
like,
watch this
no,
game now.
yeah,
You're
now we're
done.
on a new game. We're on a new
Move
game.
move
Then
them to
everybody,
FS2.
all the fans had
Yeah.
left that game. Nobody cares. And then,
No.
but they kept it on. So we kept the big TV on that game for the, we wanted it on the minute they turned back to the rest game. They kept it on. Like they interviewed James Franklin. They went to commercial. They came back to commercial and showed the Penn State players swaying back and
Like,
forth
go back to the
singing with the
Nebraska
crowd. It's like,
insulting.
okay, we got the idea. It was an like Penn State won comfortably. Let's go back to the game that's still in progress. It was so annoying.
God, I'm sorry you had to
Yeah.
go through that. I'm
Woo.
sorry that you had to go through that at your
Thank you, Justin.
fancy hotel and cabana. And it must have been terrible for you, TJ. I'm so sorry.
You have something to say, Jeff?
No.
It's easy for you
Yes,
to say, Jeff,
I
with all
first.
you're always having your sushi and your martinis, Jeff, and you're giving our guy a hard time about a cabana. Come on.
Your cigarette holder. No,
Yeah.
Jeff, it was a once a year. It was a once a year family vacation. We all chipped in for the cabana.
Okay. All
And
right.
look, admittedly, first world problems, admittedly. But I just want to. I want to embrace college football. I want to enjoy it without having to apologize. So if
Okay.
you're going to take us down to negative town,
No, I'm not
I'm not
doing
going to
that. I'm
follow you
just
there,
saying
Jeff. I'm not going to follow you there.
it's a
All right. So you
solo
go ahead and
ticket, Jeff.
you take your sushi and your martinis down there alone. Okay, pal.
Yeah. Not today, devil.
All right. Any final thoughts, boys?
Just really, really, really excited for next week, baby.
Yeah.
Colorado,
Woo.
national TV, NBC, under the lights. You know, it'll be dark enough by the time the fourth quarter starts. They'll probably do something really cool with the red lights and the fire and the
That's very
music.
exciting.
And
I can't
I
wait.
just can't wait. The place
It's going
is
to be
going to be
crazy.
electric.
It's going to be
Yeah,
so
they'll.
awesome, boys. I can't wait. Hopefully, the Huskers can get the job done. Speaking of getting the job done, Nebraska wins 40-7 against UTEP. We start the season 1-0 for the first time in 5 years. And we're going to have one more episode this week, Common Fans. We'll wait to go in a little more in depth on what we're doing. But we're going to have two episodes per week, every week in the season. Really excited about this. We're going to have a special guest join us for each of these kind of midweek episodes. So we're going to tell you more about it with the next episode, which will be out, I think, the day after this one's out. So all kinds of Common Fan content to get you through game week as you're frothing at the mouth and just laboring to get to Saturday. We're going to have plenty of Common Fan material for you to devour. So,
Yes, sir.
stick with us, Common Fans. The season has just begun. Check out www.commonfan.co. Subscribe to the newsletter. Subscribe on YouTube. You can also find any new episode announcement and some written articles as well on the Common Fan website, as well as now posted on si.com, which is really exciting too. So lots happening here at the Common Fan Podcast. We love doing this with you guys. We love sharing our fandom with you. And God, well, just one more time, guys, just welcome back college football.
Yes.
It's back.
Missed you, baby.
Indeed. Best time of year. We
Missed you,
missed you,
girl.
old friend. We missed you. If you want to put it that way, that's fine. Anyway, great win for the Huskers. Can't wait to see what's in store for this team in 2024. If you're listening to this episode on Tuesday, September, what is it,
Third.
third, the day that it's out, there'll be another episode out tomorrow. So just keep it right on rolling with the Common Fans. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life. We'll be right back.